I realize that many of you do not see the program regularly. There are people who are viewing this telecast this morning who did not see the program last week. But I announced last week that I was bringing a series of two messages on the person and work of Christ. Last Sunday, I spoke on the person of Christ. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? Now, if you missed that message and you want it, it'll be on the same tape as the message this morning. So if you hear this message on the work of Christ and you order this message, you'll receive both of them. Last week, the person of Christ, this week on the work of Christ. Now, I'm going to picture the work of Christ in the tabernacle of old. There's hardly a person out there listening to me who hasn't heard of the tabernacle in the wilderness. But so few people understand anything about the tabernacle. Let me tell you this. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, is the New Testament in promise, in prophecy, in picture, in type. Everything in the New Testament is pictured in the Old, prophesied and promised and typified in the Old Testament. There's symbols back there for everything in the New Testament. Now, the New Testament is the gospel in person. It's the Old Testament revealed. You can't understand the types and pictures and promises of the Old Testament without the New Testament. And the New Testament is simply a revelation of what God has promised and what God has prophesied. So I'm going back to the Old Testament and pick up the tabernacle and teach you the work of Jesus Christ. The work of Christ, the redemptive work of Christ, which is his chief glory. But I'm turning to the New Testament to do it. I'm turning to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And that's, you ought to read the 9th chapter and the 10th chapter of Hebrews. It says in the 9th chapter, there was a tabernacle. There was the holy place and there was the holy of holies. There was the candlestick and the showbread and the incense and the altar, the mercy seat, all of those things. And these were pictures. These were types. And the 10th chapter tells you of whom they were pictures, of whom they are types. And the 10th chapter of Hebrews, the writer declares that the Levitical law, or the Mosaic law, which God gave to Moses in the mountain. And when Moses went to the mountain, he didn't just come back with 10 commandments on tablets of stone. God also gave him all the instructions concerning worship, the building of the tabernacle, the sacrifices, the priesthood, the holy days, the feast of the tabernacles, feast of the first fruits. All of these Levitical laws were given to Moses in the mountain, and he brought them back and instituted that worship. But look at verse 4 of Hebrews 10. But it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. In verse 1, he said these ceremonies and sacrifices could not make the comers thereunto perfect, and the blood of bulls and goats and calves and heifers cannot take away sin. As long as that tabernacle or temple stood and these sacrifices were offered, they were not sacraments. They did not have any saving effect or benefit. They simply served as pictures and types of Christ, our great high priest, and our sin offering and our atonement. Now look at verse 5, Hebrews 10. So when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering for sin thou wouldest not, had no pleasure therein, but a body hast thou prepared me. In other words, in the body, Christ is our tabernacle. That old tabernacle back in the wilderness served its day as a picture and as a type. And it was where God met men. That's where the Shekinah glory of God was displayed and revealed. That's where God met men. And that's where men met God. But now Christ, being the fulfillment of that tabernacle and of that temple, Christ tabernacled among us. And he is our tabernacle. He is our temple. Do you see that? A body hast thou prepared me. Now look at verse 8. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, or neither had any pleasure. These sacrifices and sin offering never pleased God. When Christ stood there in the River Jordan, the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." God's pleased with who he is. God's pleased with what he did. God's pleased with his obedience, his righteousness, and his sacrifice, and only with Christ. In the flesh, no other man can please God, but Christ pleased him. But these sacrifices, the writer said, never pleased God, never. Then said he, Christ, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. I come to do thy will." Christ is our sacrifice. Christ is our tabernacle. Christ is our sacrifice. Christ is our temple. Christ is our sin offering. So verse 9 says, "He taketh away the first." He taketh away the first and establisheth the second. He takes away the first tabernacle and he establishes Christ. He takes away the first sin offerings and atonements, sacrifices, burnt offering, and establishes Christ, who by one offering hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So all of these types and ceremonies and days, holy days and sacrifices, are put away. Why are they put away? They've served their day. They've served their purpose. Not only that, but they've been fulfilled. So they're no longer needed. They're no longer needed. They're fulfilled by Christ. And therefore, they're put away, and Christ is all and in all. Now, let me draw you a picture. Let's take our imagination. Let me see if I can help you. I see the camp of Israel. I don't know exactly how the camp is laid out, but that's not terribly important on a 28-minute broadcast. But here's the camp of Israel, and right in the middle of the camp, there's a tabernacle. Now, that tabernacle stood on a lot that was 150 feet long and 75 feet wide. 150 feet long and 75 feet wide. And around that lot was a white linen fence, 7.5 feet high. Now, all of this means something. Every post, every socket, the white linen fence speaks of the holiness of God. And the people were outside that fence. They were not allowed in that courtyard. Only the priest, only the designated priest were allowed in that courtyard. The people stayed on the outside. And that white linen fence shows the holiness, the righteousness of God, and no admittance. Men kept on the outside because they weren't able to come into the holy presence of God. And the cloud of God's presence stood over it. Now, there was one gate in that whole fence around that courtyard. It was called the Eastern Gate. And that one gate was towards the rising of the sun. And on the Day of Atonement, now I know that the priests, there were many priests, and they served about the courtyard, and they served in the holy place, and they had the morning sacrifice, and the noon sacrifice, and the evening sacrifice, and all the sacrifices. But on one day a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would approach that eastern gate with a lamb, and he would come inside, and the first thing he would meet, now listen to me, and see if you can draw in your mind a picture of this. There's that white linen fence circling that courtyard. In the middle of the courtyard was the tabernacle. And here one gate and all the people on the outside, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God's picturing something here now. And that great high priest, one man designated, and a man didn't volunteer for this job. They were selected and ordained and anointed of God. And that one high priest would come, and the first thing he would encounter when he walked through that eastern gate was an altar. An altar. That altar was 7.5 feet long and 7.5 feet wide and 4.5 feet high. And he would slay that lamb. It wasn't a pretty sight. It was a gruesome sight. Blood would be shed. That victim, the lamb, would be slain. And he'd catch the blood in a basin. And then he'd take the body of that lamb and lay it on that altar and roast it with fire. Roast it with fire. It would burn there, the body of the lamb, and he'd take the blood. And then he'd walk across the courtyard. And the next thing he would come to before he entered the tabernacle was a laver. And that laver contained clear, clean water. And the priest would wash his hands and wash his feet before he entered into the tabernacle with the blood on the Day of Atonement. Now, stay with me. Now, this tabernacle that stood there was only 45 feet long, only 15 feet wide. Some of you've got houses longer than 45 feet long and much wider than 15 feet. You might take a trailer, a large trailer or mobile home, 15 feet wide and 45 feet long. That was the tabernacle. And he would go inside that tabernacle. Now listen to me. As he got inside the tabernacle and looked up, the first covering on the tabernacle was white linen, pure, beautiful white linen on the inside. And then above that was goat's hair, cloth made out of goat's hair. And then above that, ram skin dyed red. And then above that, badger skin. Now, badger skin was just a drab, gray, rough finish, old, weather-beaten and weather-resistant badger skin. And it came all the way to the ground. That was the tabernacle. On the outside, it was so ordinary. It looked like just any other old tent sitting out there in the wilderness, except being encased by that white linen fence. But there stood that tabernacle with the gray, drab, weather-beaten badger skin. On the outside, it appeared just like any other tent. But on the inside, oh, the whiteness of it and the glory of it and the beauty of it. But when that high priest came in there on the Day of Atonement with the blood, over here on one side, the only light in the whole tabernacle was seven-pronged candlestick. You've seen pictures of that candlestick, you know, especially among Israel. One in the middle and then three seven-pronged candlestick. And it sat over here. It gave light to that tabernacle. You could see it flickering on the walls. It burned day in, day out, 365 days a year. Over on this side is the bread, the show bread. 12 loaves of bread, one loaf for every tribe of Israel over here on the right. And then as he walked on 30 feet across this first sanctuary, was 30 feet long and 15 feet wide. And as the priest walked across the sanctuary, there was an incense altar. And on that altar, incense was kept burning 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, decades, centuries, millennium, never went out. Never went out. That incense would burn and the smoke would go up in front of the second veil. Now, the tabernacle of old had two sanctuaries. It had a sanctuary here called the holy place. And then that veil, and that veil, and you run into the veil. You remember when Christ died, the veil was rent in two? Well, that was the veil. There was no opening in the veil. It was a solid veil from top to bottom, from wall to wall, about 5 inches thick. But on this day, and no one was allowed within that veil in the holy place ever, no one except the high priest, once a year, not without blood, on this Day of Atonement. This is the day. So he would go under the veil, but he would take with him a censer of incense burning, and that blood of that lamb that was slain out there on the altar, and his body roasted, he'd bring that blood under the veil, and he would see a piece of furniture in that Holy of Holies, in that awesome place. The glory of God was there. It was called the Ark of the Covenant. Just a chest, I think 2.5 feet long by 2.5 feet high, and I forget how deep it was. But inside that chest was the tables of stone on which the Ten Commandments were written, which had been broken. And there was Aaron's rod that budded, and there was a cup of manna, the bread which God gave the people of Israel to eat in the wilderness. That was the ark. It was closed. Many a man had died looking at that ark, touching that ark, or lifting the lid on that ark. It was closed, and on the top of the ark was the mercy seat, beaten gold, the gold mercy seat, and above the mercy seat were the cherubims. And right in the middle, the Shekinah glory of God. And that high priest would bring that blood on the Day of Atonement. And he would put the blood on the mercy seat, covering the broken law. And that was repeated every year for decades, millenniums, centuries. It was repeated over and over. Now, what does all that mean? What is God saying in that? Well, here's what he's saying. Christ said, a body thou hast prepared me. Now, in all of these sacrifices and ceremonies and sin offerings, God never had any pleasure. Only as they were types, and only as they were offered in faith, and only as they pictured Christ. Now, the fulfillment of it is Christ, a body thou hast prepared me. He's our tabernacle. And let me show you. I said when you stood on a hill and looked at that tabernacle down in the camp of Israel, it looked like any other tent. Any other tent. That's right. Except for that cloud over it, you wouldn't recognize it in any other tent. And when Jesus Christ walked on this earth, the Scripture says, born of a woman, there was no beauty that we should desire him. He had no comeliness. He was despised and rejected of men, and they called him a carpenter. They said, he can't be God. He's just a carpenter. Why? He came from Nazareth. We know his mother and father. We know his brothers and sisters. He's just a man. On the outside, he looked just like any other man, just like that tabernacle. But I'll tell you, inside, the glory of God. And that badger skin represents his humanity. That ram skin dyed red, of course, his blood. And the goat hair's cloth represents Christ, our scapegoat. And the white linen on the inside, his holiness, his perfect holiness. And he is where God meets men and where men meet God. We come to God in Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the glory of God revealed in Christ. And the character of God's revealed in Christ. And the redemption of God's in Christ. Everything is there. If you're going to meet God, you've got to come to Christ. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And I'll tell you this. Let's go back outside and come in the eastern gate. What did we come to first? We came to an altar where a lamb was slain, where its blood was shed, and where its body was roasted. You ought to preach the sermon now. Can you preach the sermon? That's the cross. That's the cross. Christ, the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God, without sin, the innocent Lamb of God, was slain on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood, and his body was roasted in the heat of God's wrath and judgment for our sin. He died for us. And then you come to the laver of clear, clean water. That's our sanctification. Christ washed the disciples' feet. And there the priest would wash his feet and his hands before he went into the tabernacle. Christ is our sanctification. He cleanses by water and blood. What did the writer of Rock of Ages say? Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save me from its wrath and power. And then you go inside that tabernacle. And you see the light, the candlestick. Christ said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. He is our light. There is no light. Outside of Christ is nothing but darkness. The darkness of ignorance, the darkness of tradition, the darkness of false peace, the darkness of death. Outside of Christ, there's no light. He's our light. And over there, that bread. What is that table of showbread? That's Christ. He is the bread. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread from heaven. Moses gave you not that bread. But I am the bread of life. And he that eateth of me will never hunger. And then we go there and we come to that altar of incense. And there continually, all the time, that incense, that sweet fragrance, goes up in front of the veil. That's the prayers of Christ. Always ascending to the Father on behalf of his people. I prayed for you. He ever liveth to make intercession. Ever liveth to make intercession. That's the prayers of Christ. Well, let me tell you this. That's where the typology almost has to stop. Because Christ, our great high priest. You know that high priest, Aaron, the sons of Levi, whoever they were, they went into this, under the veil, and into this Holy of Holies. On earth with the blood of an animal. But our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not a very good type of him. Because they were men. He's the God-man. There were many of them. He was one. They lived and died. He lives forever. They sacrificed the blood of animals. He brought his own blood. And they went into an earthly place made with hands. And the Scripture said he went into heaven itself with his own blood. now to appear in the presence of God to obtain eternal redemption for us. And their sacrifices couldn't put away sin. His put it away effectually and eternally. But he went into the Holy of Holies. And our Lord Jesus Christ gave his precious blood to put away our sin. And you know what happened? You know what happened when our Lord died on that cross? It says the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. No more earthly priesthood. No more earthly sacrifice. No more earthly masses. No more earthly sacraments. No more earthly holy days. No more earthly doings and processionals and uniforms and all these things. He taketh away the first. He taketh it away and establishes the second. That's right. I'm telling you the truth. Christ is our sin offering. Christ is our Savior. Listen to Hebrews 9, verse 11. Christ being come, a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into heaven itself and obtained eternal redemption for us. And having done that, he ended all types, temples, sacrifices, ceremonies, by fulfilling them. And when that veil was rent in two, God is saying this: the way is open into the Holy of Holies for every believer. Let us therefore come boldly into the presence of God. Let us therefore come bold into the presence of God. My friend, he taketh away the first and establisheth the second. Why? Because in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in Christ. Nothing is added to Christ. Anything added only takes away. It's Christ plus nothing. But now this principle is applied throughout the whole Scripture. There was a first covenant given to Adam, this do and live, and it lay in ashes when Adam fell. And there's a new covenant, the covenant of grace in Christ Jesus. There was the first man, Adam. He fell and brought death. There's the second Adam, who did not fail and who did not fall, but who brought life. There's the first paradise. Our parents were thrown out of paradise, and the gate closed. But there is a new paradise, of which our Lord said to the thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." He taketh away the first and established the second. There was the first son of Abraham, who was Ishmael. He was sent away. Second son is Isaac. In Isaac shalt thy seed be called. The first priesthood, Aaron. And the second priest is Christ. The first king was Saul, selected by the people. The second king, David, anointed by God. There's the first earth and the first heaven. And our Lord said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away. Behold, I make all things new." There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Let me tell you this. You won't find a more important scripture in the Bible than this. He taketh away the first and establisheth the second. God takes nothing of our natural self, nothing of our natural doing, nothing of our natural making, nothing of our natural form or ceremony, and adds one thing to our salvation. It's all in Christ. Now let me show you this in closing. This principle is applied in redemption. He taketh away the first and establishes the second. For example, my first birth. I was born the first time. I was born of human parents. Christ said you got to be born again. Born of God. I was born the first time of flesh. I've got to be born of the Spirit. I was born the first time in sin. That's right, David said, in sin. My mother conceived me. I was shapen in iniquity. I got to be born the second time in holiness. He that's born of God sinneth not. That holy nature that's born of God does not sin. And that flesh born of men can't do right, can't do anything good. I was born the first time of corruptible seed. I'm born the second time of incorruptible seed, the Word of God. I was born the first time to die. It's appointed unto me and once to die. I was born the second time never to die again. He that's born of God will never die. So you see, he taketh away the first, this flesh, and everything about it. My birth, gone in order to establish the new life. All right? What about my righteousness? Every one of us think we have a little. Well, God says it's filthy rags, only fit to be burned. He taketh it away and establisheth the righteousness of Christ. And then what about my first family? The family of flesh. The family of which blood flows through my veins. Well, he takes away that first family and establishes a new family. The spiritual family, the family of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ was preaching one time to a whole crowd of people, and someone came to him and said, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside." And he said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Who are my sisters? These who do the will of God. This is my family." That's right. He takes away that first family and establishes a second. What about my first peace? All of us, we're born in a natural religion. We lay hold of it. We lay hold of the traditions handed down by our fathers, and that's all got to go in order that we might enter Christ's peace. That peace that passeth understanding. That peace that's revealed to the heart. It's not in the mechanics of religion, or not in the traditions of religion, or not in something that was handed down, but I've seen him and heard him and laid hold of him by faith. And it's a peace that passeth all understanding. Then last of all, my body. Well, he said it's going to be buried in corruption and raised in incorruption. God's got to do away. As you look at my body before you, it's going to rot and decay, go back to the dust from whence it came, and the Spirit to God who gave it. So I'm going to have a new body. I make all things new. And it starts back there with that tabernacle and services and sanctuary and all these things. He said he takes them away. Takes away the first and establishes the second Christ. And that's a principle throughout the Word. And that's a principle that's true in the redemption of any sinner. Takes away the first and establishes the second.